Good day out there in Twatland. This is Leopard.
And this is OC Code.
And we'd like to welcome you to this edition of Twat Radio on cross-site scripting. Now with my cable, I'm able to get... So is this cross-site scripting something only uber elite hackers can do?
Not exactly. Especially after everyone Googles it following this podcast. So you should totally know how to protect yourself.
Cross-site scripting. Is that like when you combine code from two websites to make one?
Kinda. In a nutshell, cross-site scripting is the art of an evil hacker inserting JavaScript into an existing website to make the site work in a way that the webmaster didn't intend it to.
Well, that's pretty nifty. But let's get to the meat of it. What exactly can you do with it?
Well, in all seriousness, it's pretty dangerous. These evil hackers make it do anything from cookie theft to exposing the history of people who surfed a site to executing arbitrary JavaScript code on your computer. If you run an e-commerce site, it could expose credit card numbers, usernames and passwords, and even track the activity of all the users on the site.
So let's say I am a nefarious hacker. How would I go about exploiting it?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. I've got the answer right here. In the most basic sense, you just give the website some input it wasn't counting on, whether you're changing URL parameters, putting funny characters in the form fields, and hitting the go button. There are three types of cross-site scripting vulnerabilities, if you ask Wikipedia, which I do pretty often. In true geek fashion, they even start numbering them at zero. Type zero is where a malicious page tricks your browser into running JavaScript code in a trusted mode with the same privileges as you. This type of exploit tends to be worse with Internet Explorer than with other browsers. Type 1 is more common. This is where a web page takes input straight from the user and spits it right out to the web page. If it's your input and your web page, you might think it's not such a big deal. But it can be a big deal if you find a hole and send out a URL which exploits it to every email address you can find. Type 2 is potentially the most serious one. That's where the website takes input from an evil hacker, stores it in a database or whatever, and then the website shows the evil hacker's code to everyone. Now the webmaster not only has to fix the hole, but also has to clean out the evil hacker's code.
Wow. That's about as bad as bringing home a girl for that three-way your girlfriend never mentioned was okay.
Well, I suppose it is. Yes, in which case you would really want to protect yourself from her wrath.
In that vein, how can us regular people protect ourselves if we're webmasters?
Well, it's simple. Kind of. You have to validate every piece of input that comes from the user. Just make sure nobody can insert JavaScript into your site in any way. This gets to be pretty complex, though, when you think about the fact that just about every HTML tag can contain some sort of JavaScript, like in an on-click event. There's a very extensive cheat sheet on ha.ckers.org, and we'll put a link in the show notes, which shows you all of the different kinds of things to test your site against to make sure you're mostly safe to these kinds of attacks. Most programming languages provide some sort of escape function to take all of this evil HTML and translate or delete it so that everything the users write on your website is safe to write back out to the page. Basically, the more complex your site, the more difficult it gets to secure, and when you add a database to the mix, it gets a whole lot worse. You kind of have to think like an evil hacker. Plus, if you secure against cross-site scripting, it fixes a lot of other bugs, like SQL injection, which Living Dead covered really well in Twat episode 33.
So, who are some of those less fortunate souls that didn't implement those preventative security measures?
Well, MySpace, for one. Not that any Twat listener has to worry about MySpace, right? Hotmail had a pretty serious bug a couple years ago that let any user see anybody's email with the right URL. Some Dig user also got irate with Netscape.com for ripping off Dig and started running all sorts of cross-site exploits. And Fishers even exploited some cross-site scripting issues in PayPal.
Oh. And us frequent web surfers, how can we protect ourselves from nefarious cross-site scripting hackers?
Well, don't use Internet Explorer, first of all. Well, okay, if you have to use IE, it does have a pretty good zone-based security model, even if it is a huge pain in the ass to use. Steve Gibson talked about this in Security Now episode 38, and I put a link in the show notes. If you use Firefox, install the NoScript extension. It stops any JavaScript from being executed at all until you tell it that you trust the site. There's also a very simple cross-site scripting demonstration in the show notes. Install this on your PHP web server, and you can see that this simple one-line page is vulnerable to just about every vulnerability on the cheat sheet I mentioned earlier.
If you've listened this far and you are a nefarious hacker, good luck. And to the rest of you, don't make yourself one of those half-baked, unfortunate souls bitten by the cross-site scripting bug. Until next time, good day, Twatland.